I want to introduce you to my neighbor, Paul. Paul is my neighbor. He lives across the street. And he is going to share just some things that God has been doing and revealing to him. And God's really good. God's been speaking, and you'll hear. So here's Paul, my neighbor.
All right. Howdy. howdy, neighbor. No one loves you like they love you. Okay. Neighbors. So anyways, as we met this week to... Okay, make sure everything's off over there. We met this week for our admin meeting. We usually go over kind of worship and just the flow of service. And Allie was kind of sharing her heart on the passage this week. And I was like, hey, that really ties in with what the Lord has been speaking to me over this. I went to the Reveal training last weekend, and that was super powerful. So I'll get into a little bit of a testimony from that, but it really kind of pours from that, and then the scripture ties in. The main scripture ties into that. So the main scripture, unless Allie changed it, is this. So, and it's kind of, it'll be a little bookend of my, I'll start with it, end with it. So Matthew 22:37-39 says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm pretty sure we've probably all heard that before. It's probably familiar. So I believe where I'm approaching it might be slightly different than Allie, but they'll fit together. So I think that's going to be cool. So we'll get like little different angles that we'll get to hear this morning. So with Reveal, one thing that came to mind is like I've heard a lot about it from the people that have gone, and I've heard this like it's life changing and all, you know. And I was a little cynical. I was like, sure, whatever. And Brad kept talking to me about it. I was like, I don't know if that's for me and all this stuff. And so I was kind of thinking about social media. I'm sure people have seen posts, or even I think there's news articles like social media versus reality, right? And it's like, you know, you see the beautiful mountain scenery, there's nobody around, you know, the perfect lighting that the person's been posting up out there for hours to wait for, and, you know, they get the shot and somehow there's nobody there, and then you go in reality and it's like there's 10,000 people there, right? And you're like, well, it's still beautiful, but like not quite the same, right? So with Reveal, it honestly exceeded my expectations, like blew me away. Like I knew kind of what I was walking into, but like what happened in there was just life-changing. So I will just echo what everybody has said. And there's really no way to like really, you know, it's like you can show them the picture and you're like, wow, it's really beautiful. But like going there and experiencing it is better than that beautiful, you know, kind of social media post in a sense, right? So that was really cool. So I'm super glad I went. I'm thankful for Brad for pushing me and kind of like really explaining it to me. So once I questioned him on it, I was like, okay, like this sounds like something that would be cool, you know? And I didn't really know what to expect. I just was like, I'm just gonna do it. So that's where this all comes from. So one thing, it was cool this week. I was talking to Bronson almost every day this week, and one thing he said was like, I love that I can go away for a weekend and the Lord can just transform my life, right? And I was like, that's so like what I experienced. And like, it's so cool. It was like this, you know, we put in some work, but like over the weekend, like God just like changed who we were, you know? So that was rad. I gave my wife permission to ask me questions if I get off my story or if I'm not making sense, because she's good about that. We were driving yesterday, and like it's been such a busy week that we didn't really get to like super debrief what happened, like, or me to debrief to her. It's beyond just like I did share with her and like had to repair some of our relationship a little bit, and it's been amazing. And it's probably like one of the, I don't know, maybe even, it's hard to say the best week we've ever had, but it's been pretty awesome. So. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happened, but it was really beautiful to reconnect with her in a new way, and walk that out throughout the whole week. So, anyways, we got to talking yesterday when we were sitting in the car driving for a while, and she had some good questions and kind of pressed me a little more, like, what does that look like? And anyway, so if I'm not making sense, she will, she'll be like that hook, you know? Just don't drag me off the stage, but, So through Reveal, I think one of the, there's so much stuff that happened. I mean, I just got in touch with some emotions that I've been holding back, and it really was, I didn't realize how crippling it was. And so once I got in there, and it brought so much freedom releasing that. Like, I think I was like been hiding from all that and like suppressing all of it, and didn't even really, I think I didn't even really know I was suppressing it. Like, it just was a slow progress. And so once that brought some freedom and clarity, and so the next day I was like, yes, like I feel so free. I can, like, I feel all this stuff's making sense. And then there's one other thing that became really clear was, like, I have this little, like, comfort bubble I've been operating in. Like, I can maintain all this stuff. Like, I'm kind of a fix-it person, you know. It's like, I can easily maintain this, you know. Like, but I'm not really pressing outside of that. So everything, you know, not like all this stuff is good in here, but it's like I'm not really dreaming past it. So it became evident that I was missing tons of opportunities. So that was one thing that really spoke to me. And that's kind of just across life. So whether it's work, ministry, my relationships, and then I'll tie that back in later. But what really got me on the last day is I started realizing how I was doing my homework, connecting. I was realizing where I was feeling emotion in things, or what was really powerful was when I was identifying either how, like, one thing was really clear, like how I'm operating with my daughter Kaylee. Like, I felt like that was my most powerful area in my life where I had really clear vision. And so when I identified, like, the things that I am doing with her, and then there was some connections with my past and how I grew up, I was like, wow, like, I'm doing the exact opposite of my childhood, right? So there was a lot of brokenness there in me, and that was painful to look at. But then going, like, wow, like, it brought a lot of emotions looking at Kaylee, like, oh, cool, I'm going to pour into her in the opposite way. Like, I'm creating this space where that stuff doesn't happen. So that was really powerful. And then I realized, I was sitting there, and I'm like, oh, maybe, like, with Heather, I need to just write down, like, what I really love about her. Like, maybe that will, like, I don't know. I don't know where I got there. I just realized, I'm like, I need to identify, like, the things I love about her and the gifts of God in her that blesses me. Jesus, yes. That was a Jesus moment. So I started writing that down, and then the morning session started. So I got in there, and it just, like, I don't know, God just, like, boom, like, hit me on the side of the head. Like, it just all came together, and I realized, it's like, man, all the things, like, what I love about relationships is, you know, obviously getting to share with people, and then also, like, being able to receive the blessings they give me, right? And so I realized, it was like, I haven't been doing that with my wife, right? Like, I've been so closed off to her, so I'm not really supporting her properly and, like, raising her up, but then I'm like, I'm not experiencing any blessings from her, and, like, and almost, like, stifling the blessing that she is. Like, that's really what hit me. It was like, I'm stifling the image of God in her, right? Like, I'm not creating, lifting her up in a way that she can live that out, right? So, obviously, she is her own person, so she, you know, can act, but I was really not supporting her in the way that really brings that out of her. So, that hit me so hard. It was like, wow, like, I'm missing so many opportunities just to, like, be blessed by her and bless her. Yeah, but it was really cool. So I sat in that, and it was, like, a lot of grief, and then I realized, like, how cool. Like, this is so easy to fix. Like, I'm so excited to talk to her and tell her all this stuff because I've been so closed off and holding all these emotions back, and, like, I get to share with her now, and, like, I feel freedom to be able to talk to her, whether it's, you know, about emotions or just life, right? Like, why am I so scared to tell her something so silly? You know, I don't know, whatever the matter was. But so this week's been really cool of just sharing, and each morning we've started, like, just telling each other, like, what we love about each other. And that's been really just an amazing way to start our day. And just even bringing Kaylee into that too, and starting to, you know, ask her, like, or tell her what we see in her that brings life to other people and in us. And so that's been really cool. I think it's definitely changed the atmosphere of our family. But ultimately, I mean, that little piece was like, wow, I'm operating in life like that, like, in all my relationships, you know. Like, that was the most prominent one that really, like, hit me up the side of the head. And then it was like, wow, I'm living that same thing out with other people, or I'm not really creating a space and a friendship that receives those blessings and, like, kind of supports them, right? Like, I'm not pouring into them. I'm missing out on opportunities with them. So that was really cool. Does that make sense? Am I missing anything? Okay, good. So then I get home, And I read this the next morning, and I didn't want to go to work because I just felt like the Lord was speaking in it. I'm like, darn it, I got to go to work. I want to just keep like sitting with the Lord and thinking about all this stuff. So 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9 says this. Well, I'm going to read it two ways, actually. So I want you guys to listen to this and listen to it in a way that it's speaking directly to you as a person. And then I'm going to read it again, and I'll give you how I want you to hear it that way. So this is towards you right now. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched, enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Does anything jump out to you guys? Does anything? Doesn't have to, but if anything stuck out willing, and you're willing to share, you can bust it out. But I'll read it again. So think about this as us as a body, right? Because he is, at first, that's how I read it, was like, to me, and then I'm like, wait, no, he's speaking to the church, right? Like, he's speaking to the group, so that brought a whole nother meaning. So, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you are called into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I thought that was cool because I'm like, okay, as a group, right? It's like we're not lacking in any gift. We're not lacking in knowledge and wisdom and all these things. And as I was sitting there, the word confirm stuck out to me. And he says it twice in here, or at least the translation does. But I looked up the word confirmed. I was like, wonder what the etymology of that is, right? So the two base words in there are together, strengthened. And that was like so powerful because I'm like, that's what he's all about, right? He's like, you guys aren't doing this, for one. That's like really, he's calling them out, but that's later in the passage. But I love that because it's like, as we are together strengthened with the Lord, right? And together going after the Lord, we're together strengthened, right? So there's this like this way, and then there's this way, right? When we're for each other and not divided, and we're bringing our gifts and living out his abundant life in our communities, right? We're together strengthened in that. So that was super powerful to me because it was like, wow, that's exactly what I haven't been doing, right? Like I've been showing up and the Lord has been meeting me through it. So not that I haven't, but I was like, wow, I haven't been living in that freedom to where it's like I show up and put my best into us, right? So it's like, yes, I'm experiencing some of the Lord's blessing, but there's so much more, right? It's like together we're strengthened when I can show up and support in a way that's, I don't know if authentic's the word, or just like really pouring in that. Like I didn't feel free in it. So that was cool. I loved that. And then back to the main verse of the day, as he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so I was like, wow, that's like that verse popped into my head. I was like, no, that's it, right? It's like, we can consider this our neighbors, right, in that. It's not only that, but it's like strengthened together strengthened, right, as we are loving one another and then also loving the Lord our God, right? Those both kind of line up. So it's together strengthened. So somewhat where I'm going to end, but really, I mean, just thank you guys for always being supportive, and I'm looking forward to, I just feel like I got a new life, right? Like, I'm like, feel normal again. I'm like, wow, I want to talk to people, and this is like, I haven't wanted that in so long, or just not in this way, right? Like, been missing that so much, but felt just trapped. I don't know. So there's just been so much freedom that was released over the weekend. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little bit sorry that it took so long, right? Like, I'm like, man, like, I've been showing up. Oh, there's this cool quote. I got to read this. This is good. Sorry. Okay. So this is a Jordan Peterson quote. I've been reading as one of his books. And it says, victory in one of its primary and most important social aspects is the overcoming of obstacles for the broader public good. So you could insert church into that. But someone who is sophisticated as a winner wins in a manner that improves the game itself for all players. And I was like, read that, I'm like, yeah, like that's what I want to do. I want to show up in a way that like wins in a way that like improves life for you guys, right? That's like, that's where I want to live at, you know? So anyways, so that was really cool. But yeah, I just, like I said, sorry for, I don't know. Like, I guess I didn't know that I was doing it, but I felt like the tension in me, right? So it's like, man, I'm sorry that I didn't show up in a way that was like really like pouring in. And so, but now like, I'm like, yes, I can fix it, right? Like just like with my relationship with my wife, like I can live that out in a way that supports her and in my relationships and our ministries. And so, yeah, just feeling super blessed by all of that. So that's what I got. Allie's going to come up.
All right. I will receive this prayer.
Lord, you know Allie intimately. You made her, you interact with her, you see her. I ask that you would continue to work in her and work through her. I ask that you bring your word through her today to us. She struggled with it this week. She's wrestled with it. She's been attacked for it. I ask that you would overcome all of that and that she would be stronger in you because of it, and that we would be strengthened and we would learn of you and about you and about us in our relationship with you, what you have to say. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. Cool. So one of the things that I want to commend, I can't walk very far, I have to remember that because that's there, is 2 weeks ago we were here. It did not feel like this. It was 103 degrees or something. And what I want to say is thank you. We were strengthened together. Who knows what the heck we said? I honestly don't even know. But I know we did it together and we felt that. And so thank you. Thank you for that. That was really... It was cool, but it was not cool. it was heat and it was pressure. And so with that, we said that was going to be the last of our series, but it's not. This is, because yes and amen, the blessing and obedience, looking at the actual commands, the greatest commandment is what we talked about, was living wholeheartedly, loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Like, I do remember that. That was what the point was loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And that, you can get off that pretty easily, but it's coming back to Jesus is where that will go. However, there's a second part to that, that Paul just talked about. Who wants to say it?
Love your neighbor.
As? Yourself. That's right. And, that is in the Bible all over the place. I have a whole list. I'm not going to go through them all, but it is Old Testament. It is New Testament. It is really important to God. And it is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about loving your neighbor. It's in Mark. Tara, do you have your Bible open?
No.
No? Can somebody please read Mark 12, 28 through 31? Anyone? I didn't prep you, I'm sorry.
Mark
12? 28 through 31.
The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. there is no commandment greater than these.
Awesome. So, the reason I couldn't end with just love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength and might, there's lots of versions, but that's the gist, is that there's this other part that is equally important, one of the versions says, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. And to break it down, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, they're interwoven. It's not one or the other. It goes together. Naturally. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the natural going together, interwovenness of those two commands, that they're not actually separate. Nothing says it as clearly as this. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And that's 1 John 4:20. And I got to like thinking like, gosh, that feels really icky. But that's not what love is. So I'm like, well, what is love then? You know, like, what is this love? If we're being commanded to love God and love our neighbor as ourself, what is it? And I first came to, you know, first thought, what's the first scripture that you think of when you hear love? Okay, yeah. What's the second one? Thank you. Yep, 1 Corinthians 13. And that's where I went. I woke up one morning with that, like, and I thought, well, we use that for weddings mostly, right? Like, we have a newlywed here, and that's what we think of it as, right? It's taught at every wedding. It was like, this is it, love, you know. But 1 Corinthians was not written to a couple getting married. It was written to a church. It was written to a group of people. And I wanted to make sure that it was the same word, and it is, as the command of love. It's agape. That's the love. And so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to go from there. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but I didn't love others, I have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is in part and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Ooh, I didn't catch that part before. Just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Inspiring, right? Does anybody else feel impossible, right? That's where I went. That feels impossible to love like that. I mean, this week was like, I came out of last weekend like, okay, I'm feeling like things are like showing up and revealed to me. And like, I just did not want to. I did not want to love this week. I did not want to love my family. I did not want to love my husband. I did not want to. The good news is so what? It's a choice. Love isn't a feeling. We often put this with the wedding and like, oh, love, because it's an emotive thing. And there is an emotive love that happens, but that's not what this is talking about. Bless you. It's talking about this choice to love. And I started kind of getting caught in this, I can't do this. Like, this is too hard. And I started researching, you know, like love and what it is, and if I take it out and really look at, there's a part, verse 4 through 7, where it talks about love is this, love is that, and then there's a part that says love does. It's the action. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so I started looking at that and like, well, how can I do this? Okay, I'm going to look at how can I do this? And, you know, it's not necessarily a human thing that we do naturally. It bears all things. Another version is it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In the Greek, it bears means to cover and to conceal, to ward off, to bear with, to endure patiently. Believes all things means to entrust. Hopes, to hope for, to expect, to trust, and endures, to remain, to undergo, to have fortitude and persevere. And then the all things translates all the whole, every kind, including all forms of declension. Apparently, a primary word, all, any, every, the whole. I had thought about digging into the neighbor thing, because that's a whole other topic that you can really get into. But in the end, it's all things. All loving all people. That's what you end up with if you do that dig into the neighbor. But we're going to talk today about something that might actually surprise you. I'm not even going to be talking about that. What I'm going to be talking about is how hard it feels, and there's a reason. But there's a really cool fix. You can't give what you don't have. It actually does start with you. Not in self-love. I'm not saying to love your neighbor as yourself, like love yourself first and then love others. That's not what love is. Self-love is the way the world says, oh, just make sure you take care of yourself. Self-love first. But it is about you. And it does start with you. And it's a really cool thing that the Lord led me to this chapter. It is John. He's awesome. He is the, if you want to dig into love, dig into anything John wrote in the Bible. The Gospel of John and all the letters of John. And I'm like committed to doing that. That's like, I'm excited about that. But I'm going to read this to you. It is 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. See a pattern here? And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. I'm going to say that again. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And if he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Did anybody hear what the key is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the key, when I was just poring over that, was that it starts with receiving God's love for you. It says in verse 10, this is real love. Not that we loved God. It wasn't about us doing anything, right? It's not that we loved him and then he loved us. It's that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So the key is in receiving. And it's in believing. It's not just in receiving it, but it is in believing that you are loved by God, that you are seen by God, that he died for you to bring you what? Abundant life. From your belief is how you live. From your belief, if you believe you are loved, that you, I told my daughter today, she's hurt and she's grieving and it's fine. She's like, I want to play soccer. And she's like, I'm like, you can be sad. You can totally be sad right now. But I got to pray over her in a way I've never prayed over her during worship, in that, like, be sad, bring it to God and be open. He created you. He's got something for you in this day. He's got something for you maybe in during this pain of that. Don't not hurt. But do you know that you were born? That you were in God's mind, he created just you. Just one Quinn to be here now in this place for something more than a hurt ankle. And she just was like receiving it. And it was just this really cool moment. So that was not written in here. But what we believe is how we live. And there's a lot of scripture that talks about it. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Matthew 12:34, you think Jesus wasn't kind of mean? This is a fun quote. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Matthew 15:18, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things defile a man. And Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what I really felt like, it's a very simple message today, is that God just told me, like, this is it. You're loved. God loves you. It's not about doing anything. He wants to love you. He wants you to receive and sit in his love. One of the big takeaways I had last weekend was a realization of of when I hurt, I put up a wall. I mean, that's a typical response, right, of pain. And God was so kind to me to show this to me in a physical format, but then tell me, I also feel this way with you, my daughter. My mom is a wonderful woman, loves the Lord, loves me, and I have really pushed her away for, I know the moment it happened. That's what was revealed to me this week. And the moment it happened when I was 17, because of pain I was in, I said, you may not know me anymore. You don't get me. I don't trust you for whatever reason, you know? And she's told me over the years, and there's been little letting her in a little bit at a time. But over the years, she has sat and told me, all I want is to know you. And it's like, I just couldn't, or I wouldn't. That's the thing. It's a choice. And I realized my responsibility in that this last weekend, and I know it doesn't just show up there, okay? And I'm grieving that a little bit of what I have missed out on with others. And I made a commitment. My mom doesn't even, she'll hear this probably. she's coming in a couple of weeks, and you know, it's, I have to let her into my pain is where it's going to have to start, is going back to that moment and asking for forgiveness and letting her into that why, you know. And what the Lord showed me, oh, and I've committed to answering her phone calls every time she calls. So I did this week because she just wants to know even the stupid things about my life that I think, why do you even want to know that? She just does, you know? So anyway, the Lord, in his kindness, it's like, that's not the only place. You're not receiving my love, especially when it hurts. And that bums him out, you know? Like, he loves you. He loves me. He created us. And he wants us to receive his love. Like, he's like, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. I'm going to send my son to, in a human form to show you. I love you. And so I'm asking you guys to join me in this. Is where's your heart with the Lord? He has an invitation for you to receive his love. He wants you to sit and receive. He's not asking for, and go do this, go do that, go do that, go do that. Receive it. Receive forgiveness. Where are you not letting him forgive? Where are you not letting him forgive you? There was one thing that was talked about in our training where someone's like, I have to forgive myself. And the trainer said, no, you need to receive forgiveness. You didn't hurt yourself. You hurt the image of God. Like, you are God's child. You need to receive and release. Receive the forgiveness that God has for you for whatever it's been done, whether it's to yourself or to others. You're receiving the forgiveness from the Lord. It is in the receiving where love, I even want to say, starts. I mean, it starts with God. He loved us first, but it doesn't circle back until we actually embrace and receive that he loves us. Ephesians 3:17 to 19. This is my heart, you guys. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from him. It's only then. And the only way we're going to be able to love others, because let's face it, life is freaking hard. Life is really hard, and I know. Like, if I could take away all the pain in each of your lives, I would. And I get caught in that sometimes and frustrated that it's still happening. And like, what am I doing wrong? Or like, why am I, you know, like, why aren't these people? And he's like, it's not your job. It's not your job to take away their pain. It's not your job. Like, just tell them you love them. Tell them I love them. And and let them know that they're seen. Brad's teaching Sunday school today, and he's teaching Zacchaeus. And I was going to read the same story that he's reading to them, because it's so great the way that it's done in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I forgot, so it's over in that storage closet right now. But read it this week. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. That's a song I learned in Sunday school. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. He could see. How else does it go?
I said, Zacchaeus, you come down. Or come with your hat out to your day. Or come with your hat out to your day.
And he basically was like looking for Jesus. He couldn't see him. Jesus, he didn't think Jesus could see him. So he went up. He did what he could to have Jesus see him. And Jesus saw him. And he's like, what are you doing? Come with me. I'm coming to your house. And then he's like, I'm the worst of them all. Like, he was the worst tax collector. And Jesus saw him. And he said, basically, like, you're forgiven. And in the storybook Bible, it talks about that this never-ending... Like, I can't even, I got to find it and read it to you guys.
Okay. It says, Jesus loved Zacchaeus when nobody else did. He was Zacchaeus' friend, even when no one else was. Because Jesus was showing people what God's love was like. His wonderful, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always, forever love.
Amen. That's it. And I just love how that's being taught to our kids today. Like, they are seen and loved with an unending. Can you say those again?
Wonderful, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever.
So good. So in this world that is hard and easy to lose sight of what's available for us, how do we move forward? And I believe it's in a posture of receiving and making that a priority. It's not about having your devotions every day and having prayer and having... It's not about checking off the list. It is about making room for stillness to receive what he has for you and asking him, how do you see me? What do you have for me? And Deuteronomy 4:9, it says... Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and so that they do not slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. It's easy to forget where God saw you for the first time, where you were Zacchaeus, because life fills up with other things that we choose. And there's not, like, I guess the thing I really want you guys to know is, like, I ask them, like, God, this is so basic. Like, these people know you. Like, why do you want me to tell them this? Because it's the only thing. It's the only thing. In 1 Corinthians 13, I heard it differently after I was reading this. The beginning if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, this is the part, I would have gained nothing. There is no point. I would have gained nothing. It would just be, Because love is God, right? And so I listen to this, and I want you guys to listen to this, not in a how you're supposed to be, okay? But in how you are loved. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. He never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's God's love for you. Not a checklist on how you're supposed to love others. It starts with hearing it, sitting in it. And believing it. Jeremiah 33:3. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. In a commentary, it says some translators render the I have loved you, that I have continued my loving kindness to thee. It's not one and done. He didn't just die on the cross for your sins and that's it. He's like, no, I love you. It's a continuing love of my loving kindness to thee. Lamentations 3:22-23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. My hope for myself, and I want to welcome you, invite you guys into, I'm going to be looking at John. I'm going to be looking at love. And the thing I love about John is that he calls himself, do you know what he calls himself? The disciple Jesus loved. And when you hear that, you kind of think, oh, that's funny. You're like, he got the chance to write however, whatever he wanted. And you kind of think, oh, that's so boastful, you know? Like, I'm the one Jesus loved. But how cool that he knew. And that became his nickname. And nicknames were huge back in that time. There's a whole lot of study that can be done. Huge. Identity. That is his identity. I'm the disciple Jesus loved. And this comes from a blog, but it says, all of us could refer to ourselves as the disciple whom Jesus loved, because he does. He extraordinarily, unconditionally loves us. John experienced that firsthand and had to proclaim the testimony of it, even in his name. And I just love John. I think I want to know that too. And I want to be able to say, I'm Allie, the disciple Jesus loves, you know? And so I woke up this morning, I've been working on this, and I woke up this morning with this verse in my head, and it's going to be our closing. But what I do want to say is the Lord does want you to know that he loves you, and he wants you to believe it. And if you don't, he's calling you. Calling you again. Believe me. Believe I love you. Receive my love. I'm confident that the only way we're going to get through the hard things in life, because they're going to come, is if we have that. I was remembering, you know, the wise man built his house on the sand. The foolish man. See, I was not remembering well. The foolish man built his house on the sand, but the wise man built his house on the rock, right? We tend to rely on other people to tell us our identity, to tell us our worth, to tell us our love, that we're loved. That's sand. He loves you. That's the rock that's going to stand in the storm. And not the whole quote, but just a certain part, says, this is what I am super clear about. That's a die, super clear. What I am super clear about is without love, receiving love, there is no life abundant. And I know we all want that. And it's available. And it starts with you. And if there's anything in the way, if there's a part of you that is like, I do not want you here. I do not want you here, Lord. Sit with that. I invite you to get rid of it. There's elders that are here. Danny and Wes can pray. Be strengthened and fortified by who God has put in your life as his hands and feet here to fight with you and sit with you. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm working through as a parent, as a wife, as a pastor, is just sitting with people. And I will say I'm sorry for not doing that more and not just sitting. You're loved. I can't fix it. No. And there's freedom in that if I would choose to receive that. But I do love you guys, and part of it is I don't like seeing us all hurt, you know. And I want life abundant, but it's not my job. It's yours. And this is the verse Paul, if you want to come up, we're going to move into worship. This is the verse that I woke up to this morning. And it's Revelation 3:20. And if you guys could close your eyes and just kind of picture your heart. He says, here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We love each other because he first loved us.